Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting and ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to use, and that was against us, that which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body is by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if he be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So far the reading of God's word there, and then also we have one verse in Mark 16. Here is the commission of Jesus Christ to his disciples. This is after Jesus' ascension, after Jesus' resurrection, before his ascension. We read in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We have a summary of these, the teaching in these chapters and many others in Lord's Day 26 of the sacrament of holy baptism. Page 14 in the back of your Psalters, Lord's Day 26. We have the three questions. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to us? Answer thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed eternally with, I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Question 70, what is it to be washed with the blood and the spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely, for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice on the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost, and sanctified to be members of Christ, so that we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Question 71, where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed by the water of baptism? Answer, in the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated where Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. May the Lord bless the preaching of his word this morning. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, we spoke last week and how clearly this Lord's Day brings it out again. It brings out this fact that the preaching of the gospel and the two sacraments point, bring us before Jesus Christ. Bring us to Jesus' suffering and his death on the cross. Two sacraments. Baptism reminds us that by Christ's blood and sacrifice, we enter into the new life, the Christian life. Therefore, it's only once. The Lord's Supper, by Christ's blood and sacrifice, we live and we move and we have our spiritual being, strength, and nourishment in that covenant life. And therefore, it is repeated over and over and over again. So held before us in the preaching and in the sacraments is Jesus Christ crucified for all of our sins. In the last Lord's Day, what are sacraments? They are holy, visible signs and seals. Just as the gospel is holy, the sacraments are holy because it is instituted by Christ. It is visible. In other words, the gospel that we hear with our ear, now we see pictured with our eyes in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. It is a sign. A sign, just like on the sign on a road, if it tells you there's a curve in the road, it's pointing ahead to the reality there. Be prepared. There's going to be a sharp curve ahead, but also a seal. What is sealed is not the individual, but what is sealed is the promise of God that those who believe and are baptized are saved. That God saves us because of and through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed on the cross. So we need to distinguish. We need to distinguish clearly between the sign and the reality in the Lord's in the sacrament of baptism, but also in the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper that we celebrated a couple weeks ago, baptism that we will see again, the Lord willing, next week. And in Colossians chapter 2, where we read in verse 12 that we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God. The baptism that is spoken of there is the reality. It's not talking about water baptism now, but it's talking about the reality. We are brought into contact with Jesus Christ. How we need that. Do you know your need? Do you know your need for a living relationship with Christ Jesus? That you are brought by the word and the sacrament into a close contact with Jesus Christ. So that we are changed. That our condition is changed through Christ Jesus. Why does our condition need to be changed? And the answer is, we could liken our condition to the disease of leprosy. There was no sickness in Israel more feared or dreaded than leprosy. The person that received that kind of disease could not come within the camp of the city. They would have to live with torn clothes, with a bare head. They would have to cover their upper lip, and they'd have to cry out when anyone came near them, "Unclean, unclean." And as terrible as that disease of leprosy was in those days, far worse than that disease of leprosy is the spiritual disease that you and I have by nature. The plague of sin, a spiritual leprosy. As the leper would have to remain outside the camp, so the person in sin, apart from Christ Jesus, lives apart from the fellowship with God and his people. As the leper had torn clothing, shame. What is torn from us is our original righteousness and holiness that God made man in his image. We've lost our holiness. And as the leper, there was only one possibility for recovery, and that is through a cleansing, a miraculous work of divine grace. So also we can only be saved from our sin through an act of God's love and God's grace. How can we be saved from that disease of sin? And the answer is through cleansing. That's what the sign is a picture of. Cleansing. Does the water wash away our sins? And the answer is absolutely not. It's just water. But the promise is, as surely as water is used to wash away the filth outwardly of the body, so the blood and the Spirit of Jesus Christ washes away our sins. Our text, buried with Christ in baptism, whereby you are also risen with Christ through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised Christ from the dead. So what does it mean to be baptized? What does it mean? Baptism is to bring two things into the closest contact so that the condition of the one is changed by the other. Let me use some illustrations of that. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that Israel was baptized into Moses when they passed through the Red Sea. What does that mean? It doesn't mean they're sprinkled with Moses, but it means they were brought into the closest relationship, contact with Moses as God's appointed mediator, a type of the great mediator who would come. Baptized into Moses. We read that Christ was baptized with death. It means he was brought into the closest relationship possible so that his condition was changed. That he who knew no sin became sin for our sake. He was counted guilty before God's throne so that we might be justified through him. In Romans chapter 6, the first six verses, we are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. It refers to the fact that through faith, we are brought into contact with Christ Jesus' death and resurrection in such a way that our condition is wholly and completely changed. Baptism. What does it mean? Notice with me, then, first of all, the sign and the promise. Second of all, the testimony given. And thirdly, the testimony of whom? The testimony of whom? Faith, we've heard, is the work of the Holy Spirit this past week. Faith is worked in our hearts, and faith is strengthened in our hearts through the sacraments. So we looked already at the essence of faith. What is it? The necessity of faith. How we receive faith. And now, how is that faith worked and strengthened in us? Who instituted baptism? That is a very important question for us to answer. Who? If baptism is a human instrument, if baptism originated with man or with the church, then it has no value. Then it's merely custom or tradition. But if it's a divine institution, it has the greatest value. Who instituted Baptism? Baptism. Whose idea was it? And the Catechism gives a very clear answer here, doesn't it? In question and answer 69, Christ instituted baptism. Christ, not man. Christ, who purchased his church. Christ, who shed his blood. Christ, who went and he defeated sin and Satan in hell. He, arising, said to his disciples, "Go, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Christ commanded it. Instituted by Christ, it means Christ did this, Christ commanded it, and second of all, the apostles now go forth and they likewise baptize and commanded that there were those to be baptized. Why do I emphasize it a moment? Well, because there are Christians that want to include in the sacraments other things that Jesus did. For example, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And so in churches, they have as a sacrament the washing of feet. That is not a sacrament, although Jesus did wash his disciples' feet. Jesus did not command them that they had to wash feet. The disciples do not carry on that tradition, that custom. So the washing of feet is not a sacrament. Or let me take one more as an example. Marriage, beautiful institution of God. But it was not commanded by Christ as a sacrament, as a means for the saving or the working or the strengthening of faith. And neither do the apostles command all to be married. In fact, the Apostle Paul says the single state is very blessed, wonderful. So instituted by Christ means that Christ commanded it. Christ gave a commandment, and he did that after his ascension. We read of it in Matthew. We read it in Luke and Mark. Christ says, go and baptize. He who is baptized, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then the apostles carry out that work. Now, as many of you know, that baptism existed even before Christ, didn't it? In the Old Testament, proselytes were baptized. They were made part of the nation of God by baptism. And John the Baptist baptized. The amazing thing was, John the Baptist didn't only baptize heathen, those coming from other customs and peoples, but John went further. He baptized the Jews. He baptized them unto the remission of their sins. He says, we are all sinners. We all need to be cleansed of our sins. And now Jesus takes that same baptism and now he makes it a sacrament for the church. We, with our children, are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And may we in the institution of this sacrament see, first of all, then the wisdom of our great teacher. He takes that which is common, water that washes the body, and he makes it a holy sacrament in order to teach us, his foolish and his dull children. He says, I want you to hear the gospel. I want you to hear it not only with your ears, but I want you to see it with your eyes. And so next week, when we witness the sacrament of a little infant, each one of us is to, with our eyes, see what we hear with our ears. As water washes away the outward filth of the body, so the blood and the Spirit of Christ washes away all my sins. You see, that's why the sacrament is done in the church, in the congregation. The little child doesn't know next week what's taking place, except its head is getting wet. But you and I seeing that, boys and girls, along with parents, the aged saints, looking at that, receive a rich benefit. We see with our eyes what we've heard with our ears. God, by the blood and the Spirit of Christ, cleanses us from all of our sin. So we see not only the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus and making this a sacrament, we see then, second of all, the goodness of our God. Oh, how he cares for us, his rather dull children, foolish children. Like a nursing father, he strengthens and upholds and he sustains his weak little children. How we need that picture, how we need the gospel in our ears every day of our lives, don't we? Every year of our pilgrimage. For as our sins continue, and as we hate those sins, we're sorry for those sins, we hear the gospel, we see the sacrament. Though my sins are great, God's abounding grace is greater. He washes it away. Baptism is instituted by Christ. And we are in our baptism to go back to the old pictures in the Old Testament. Pictures that were very vivid to God's people. How was Moses and how was Israel saved from Egypt. They were saved by water. That is, they were separated out from Israel, from Egypt, separated by that water, delivered by God. Or going back further, Noah and his family. How were they saved? They were not saved in spite of the water, but the water was a beautiful thing. The flood was a wonderful thing. They were separated from that ungodly world. They were lifted up away from that ungodly world that was destroyed by water. Saved by God. So what does our baptism mean? Instituted by Christ. We have been separated. We've been separated away from the wicked world and all of its sin. Separated unto God in Christ Jesus. Separated by the blood and the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Baptism. Whether immersed can mean that, or whether the water is sprinkled or poured out upon the head of the individual. It's an external washing of water, isn't it? The water itself doesn't save, and therefore the amount of the water doesn't make any difference. How many times the water is called a sprinkling in the Old and in the New Testament? We're sprinkled, or the Holy Spirit is poured out on us. Not immersed, but poured out. The water of baptism is applied to the child or to the adult who believes. And it's not the amount. Sprinkling is sufficient. How do we know that? There are those Christians who would object with us, aren't there? They say, no, it has to be immersed. And immersion is a beautiful picture. That would be the picture in Romans chapter 6. We are immersed. We are totally in contact with Christ as he went down under the water and as he is raises up above the water, as he went into his death and comes back to life. But we don't need immersion today, do we? Why not? Because it's not the amount of the water. I bring before your mind, boys and girls, you remember that time when Jesus was in the upper room washing his disciples' feet. And he comes to Peter, and you'll remember that Peter, first of all, objects. He says, no, Lord, this isn't the way it ought to be. It shouldn't be you serving me, but we should be serving you. And Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And then, of course, impetuous Peter says, well, then don't only wash my feet, but wash all of me. And Jesus says, no, Peter, that's not necessary. It's a symbol. It's not the amount of the water. It's what it pictures. Cleansing through the blood and the Spirit of Christ Jesus. We read in Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14. How much more than the Old Testament rituals, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Or again, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The symbol, the washing away by the blood and the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Yes, Jesus takes the baptism of John the Baptist. He carries it further, doesn't he? And John says, greater is the one who's coming after me. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Spirit and with fire. Baptism by John the Baptist was merely a picture looking forward to the reality. Christ through his blood and by the Holy Spirit, cleansing us from all of our sins. Cleansing us because by faith we are brought into contact with Jesus Christ. Our condition is changed by Christ Jesus. What assurance. What wonderful assurance that gives us. You see, our baptism is not what some call christening. In those churches where children are christened, it is the parents' promise that is all important. The parents' promise that they're going to bring up their children and do all that they can to bring their children to Christ. How is baptism different than christening? What is all important is not our promises. What is all important is God's promise. God's promise. God's promise that he will raise up in the line of our generations his church that is separated out from the world and separated unto himself by faith in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, what a beautiful picture that is. That's the picture that each one of us should be thinking about. Parents of children, but the whole congregation, encouraged. They hear the gospel with the ear, and they see it visibly portrayed in the sacrament. The sign and the seal that God is gracious. God is gracious. He is pleased to call out in our generations his children. He gives the solemn promise to all of his elect children. He is able to save them to the uttermost. Do you, child of God, cling to that promise daily? We fall into terrible sins in our minds, with our words, with our actions. We're humbled. We hate those sins. Do you cling to that promise? Our God is gracious and he is powerful. He is able to save us to the uttermost. How? By the blood and the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And then there's the obligation, isn't there? There is the obligation then to train our children about those things. To treat our children as children of God. To call them to live to that life of obedience and to do that ourselves. We regard as Christians those baptized. Now notice those words. We regard them as Christians. We don't presume. That's a different thing. To presume means that we believe that they're all saved somehow unless later on they fall away. No, when we say we treat all those who are baptized as Christians, that is, we look at them as if they were in Christ Jesus, and we nurture them. We treat them as children of God, and we tell them the obligations. As children of God, you don't live like the world. You don't speak like the world. You don't dress like the world. You don't act like the world. You're new creatures. How important. Godly parents teaching their children these truths when they become older. Who are you? How do you conduct yourself? New creatures living in obedience to God. What that means, living godly lives in the midst of this world. So what is the testimony? If that's the sacrament of baptism? What is the testimony that comes to us? That's all important, what God says to us. Well, first of all, God says to you and me in baptism that we of ourselves are polluted, that we of ourselves are filthy, that you and I of ourselves are unclean. Our children would react kind of strongly if shortly after they just took a bath, we would say, "We want you to take another bath." So why? Why? We're clean. No, it's when the children have been outside all day in the dirt, in the playing with their toys, in the house. We say, "Hey, before you eat, you are to wash your hands." It makes sense. When God in Christ Jesus says, "Baptize," He is saying, first of all, to us, why? Because of yourself, you are polluted, you are unclean, you are filthy, you need to be washed. Because in ourselves, we are blacker than the Ethiopian within. And the only way that blackness of sin can be washed away is through the blood and spirit of Christ. And the contrast is played there in Scripture, isn't it? Over against that blackness of sin within, we are made inwardly whiter than the newly fallen snow. It's not the clean who need washing, it is the unclean. And every time we as a congregation witness that sacrament being administered, the light bulb ought to go on in our minds and say, "Yes, yes, that's me. That's me who stands in need of the blood and the Spirit of Christ to wash away my sins." But second of all, baptism testifies that we may not come into communion or contact with God unless we are cleansed. There is no fellowship with God except through that cleansing. Why? Because God is a holy God. He cannot endure iniquity. The only way that we can walk with God, according to Amos, can two walk together unless they be agreed. The only way that we can have fellowship with God, the Holy One, is that our sins are removed from us, that we are washed. Washed by being given new hearts, washed through justification, washed through sanctification, so that we are a holy and a blameless people. Wow, that's something. You and I, who by nature are children of wrath, are changed into children of God. Those who are far off are brought near. You and I, who were friends in league with the devil through Adam, are now friends of God. That's what's pictured. That is the message that comes in the sacrament. Amazing testimony. A testimony that ought to cause us to sing with joy. Who am I? We're not defined by our sins. We're not defined by our circumstances. But rather, we are defined by God's word, by God himself, but what we are made in Christ Jesus. Children. Thirdly, the testimony of baptism is that we have a real advantage in Christ's cross. In other words, we don't just talk about the cross as an event that took place a long time ago. We don't simply confess the reality that, yes, Jesus died once upon the cross. But we are assured that Jesus died on that cross. Why? For us. Jesus died on the cross in our place. Jesus Christ died so that we may be forgiven all of our sins. Jesus died on the cross so that by His blood and Spirit we are made new. How beautifully the Catechism points out those two benefits of baptism. One, the washing away of sin, justification. But second of all, the renewal by Christ's Spirit. That's why in Matthew 3, John the Baptist makes that distinction, doesn't he? I indeed baptize with water, but after me comes one who is greater, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Renewal, sanctification. Every time you and I watch another person, whether young or old, baptized with water, those two truths are presented to us, that testimony comes to us that we claim by faith. I'm washed by the blood of Christ Jesus, and I am renewed by His Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that brings those benefits to us. What a wonderful thing about this sacrament, then. Both sacraments, both. We are brought into contact with Christ, and the Holy Spirit applies to us those benefits. Washed from our sins, into contact with Christ Jesus, so that the Lord's Supper pictures our continued life in the covenant. We're nourished with Christ, we're fed with Christ, we're strengthened with Christ, we grow in Christ Jesus. What a benefit of the cross. Jesus redeemed us from destruction. That's Psalm 103, verse 4. I used that just this past Friday for a funeral. Redeemed from destruction. When? How? Well, that word destruction means the pit. That word destruction means death, the grave. You and I were redeemed from that spiritual death because of our sins in regeneration. And you and I are redeemed from that death which is the wages of sin, namely eternal death. We're redeemed. How? What does that word redeemed mean? That there was a purchase. There was a ransom price paid. And baptism pictures to that ransom price. What can wash away my sins, your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want you to see how personal this testimony is also, because notice the questions. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? I want you to notice the personal pronouns there. It's not just enough to know, oh yes, as a church we believe this. As a church we believe that Jesus died for His people to wash away their sins and to renew them. No, the question is, how art thou? How am I, Odd Spreensma? And now you put your name in there. How are you personally admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to you personally? What a nice question. And what a beautiful answer. Christ has appointed the preaching of the gospel and this sacrament to that end, that we may have personal assurance that Jesus died not only for others, but he died for me, for my sins, washing them away. He died and he rose again so that we might, brought into contact with him, have his life in us and live that life eternally. Baptism testifies to each one of us. How often do you think of that testimony? Hopefully not just on Sundays when you see that sacrament administered, but hopefully you think of your baptism and you speak of your baptism daily. As Satan comes to convict you of your sins and your conscience stands there and says, yes, I did all those nasty things, each day, may Christ, by his word and by the sacrament, assure you that though your sins are many, they're washed away, that you are a child of God, adopted, and therefore an heir of all things. And then that baptism is seen in our lives. So believe it not only with a mind and with a heart, but now seen in our lives. We walk, we conduct ourselves as those who are washed from our sins and given the Holy Spirit to fight sin. By our conduct, by our speech out there, by our dress, may others see we have been brought into contact with Christ. He lives in us and we live out of him. That testimony of the sacrament of baptism is the testimony of the triune God. That's why we can be sure of it. It's not just this pastor saying this to you. It's not just some things in theology books. But in the sacrament, it is the Son himself, Jesus Christ, giving a testimony. Christ says, I suffered and I died and I shed my blood as surely as water washes away the outward filth of the body, so my blood washes away your sins. And as water sprinkled on crops, on the ground, a picture of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, so also I renew you. You and I have the testimony of Jesus himself. Jesus says, Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Yes, he who believes is through faith. God who gives that faith and God who strengthens that faith by his word and by his spirit. By the Son himself who suffered and died and rose again, is now in heaven. He's saying to you and to me, Christ is saying to us, child, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Jesus is saying more, isn't he? When that woman that was taken in adultery was brought before Jesus, Jesus said to her, I do not condemn thee. Jesus also said, go sin no more. Jesus is saying those two things to you and me. There's the obligation. You're forgiven. I do not condemn you. But he's also saying, go, sin no more. Live that life of sanctification, of godliness. Boys and girls at school, as you live with your fellow students, you young people at college, you meet all kinds of people at college, be distinctive. be built up in the faith, live that faith in the workplace, in the home, living as God's children. The testimony is not only of Jesus Christ himself, but it is the testimony of Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called that agent whereby baptism is called in Titus the washing of regeneration. Why is baptism called regeneration, or the water of baptism? Because we are renewed. We're new creatures. So that Holy Spirit comes through the preaching and he comes through the sacrament. He says, I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to enable you to live as God's children. You're not on your own. I dwell in you, and I will cause you to walk in obedience and love to God. And it's the testimony of God the Father, isn't it? God the Father says through the Word and through the sacrament, you are my children. God says to us, I have made an eternal covenant with you. I have taken you to myself, and no one is able to tear you away. How wonderful that you and I, by God's grace, are able to hear that gospel preached. We hear it with our ears, and we see that same gospel with our eyes portrayed to us. Brought into contact with Christ Jesus so that our condition is changed. He lives in us, and we live out of him. God, help us to show that daily. God, give us that assurance. When our sins plague us, and they should, I'm washed in the blood and the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Father, we're thankful that that gospel comes to us again. It comes to us as adults, and it comes to us as little children. And we're thankful, Father, that as parents and grandparents, we're able to pass these truths on to the next generations coming. The infinite worth, the value, the blessedness of Jesus Christ crucified for us and raised from the dead. Our sins are gone, and we are made new creatures to live in holiness. Give us grace then, Father. Give us grace to live out that testimony. Children of God. Amen.
Start in our song book to number 14. Number 14. O Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how excellent is thy name. Verse stanza 7. Thy mighty works and wondrous grace, thy glory, Lord. Proclaim. Let's sing stanzas 1, 2, and 7. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.